everybody, and welcome to CWF Road Diaries. I'm your host, Johnny P., John Filipavage. This week, part two, our final part of the Dylan Hales interview, talking more about CWF and where things could go. I was a little nervous about this conversation that we had over CWF FanCon weekend, which is really CWF Rumble weekend in mid-October. We did not know what was about to happen as far as Kane Justice being one of the final two with Trevor Lee. We do talk about Kane a bunch, and we talk about booking options. I think it's finally maybe slightly outdated in that we still sort of think Chet Sterling is going to be the opponent for Trevor Lee at Battlecade. That did not come to fruition, but the conversation's vague enough that we're really just talking about who's taking the belt off of Trevor, which is a big conversation that Dylan will have from time to time and has even had with CWF creative director Brad Stutz. So let's get to that. Don't forget, we're less than 2 weeks from Battlecade. I'm excited. I'm going down a little bit early. I have a bunch of projects that I want to expand with CWF. Hopefully we'll be able to have some sort of announcement or two after Battlecade. We'll see how things go. We'll see what gets done. But I am excited, and I'm excited to talk to my longtime, dear, close, personal, best friend ever in the world, Dylan Hales. You were here for something that like really spurred that we're at CWF FanCon, if I haven't said so. I think I did, but what really spurred me on even more, I had already had the idea, but when I was there that weekend, Coronado Cup, when you were here with your family and a lot of our friends were here, I said, God, we got to do something even bigger with this. And that was the same weekend that my match of the year happened. Yeah. And that was, I've talked about it a lot this year on every podcast it seems like I've been on, Chip Day and Trevor Lee. And now we're almost at the end of the year, and I just feel like other than the people like myself or you who beat the drum for lesser known companies, it's just not in the conversation. The major taste testers just either didn't watch it or they did and they told a friend, yeah, that was really good. And they didn't even write about it or talk about it on a podcast or whatever their venue is. What does this place have to do to gain more visibility in the next year or two or 10, you know?
Well, I think it's a gradual process. Mm-hmm. I mean, the reality is that CWF is happy where CWF is. They have a building that they can run pretty much whenever they want. I mean, realistically, they could run here for 7 nights a week if they wanted to.
They run the building. It's their building.
Yeah, and, you know, it's in a good location. It seats a good number of people. It's a good operation. They've got that worldwide audience that's out there that enjoys the shows. We now have seen some evidence that people will travel for at least the bigger events. There was a lot of us came out of town for Coronado Cup. There's a lot of us, again, that are out of town this weekend for the Rumble. So, I mean, and I actually am going to disagree with you slightly in the sense that...
Go for it.
There's never been more competition in the sense of there are hundreds of options with your wrestling, right? Like, you can, like, there's so many promotions out there, and I follow so much independent wrestling that it's like, God, whatever. It's insane. And it's difficult. Yeah, it's difficult to sustain interest and with an online audience and whatnot. But... And maybe Chip versus Trevor is not going to be on everybody's match of the year list, but I feel like most people who went into it with an open mind, including people who you and I don't agree with on a lot of stuff, watched that match and thought, man, that was really damn good.
Oh, yeah.
And to me, what CWF needs to do is keep doing what they're doing. I don't think they need to be catering to anybody other than the audience that they've cultivated, because people have gravitated to this company because of what they do, not because of some idea that they're going to be something different than what they currently are. Mm-hmm. So it's a slow, gradual process. It's not a situation where you flip a switch. And I actually think we've kind of seen it, some interesting stuff already, because, like, you know, they run the Hargrave Center here and there in Chapel Hill now, and those shows are different, they're packed, they're high energy, they're also not an internet crowd, but what it shows me is that this is a product that has legs and that is translatable to a lot of people. It's translatable to people here in the Gibsonville area, it's translatable to people in Chapel Hill, it's translatable to a lot of people who watch on the internet, and as long as they keep telling stories and keep to the formula that has worked to this point, I do think you're going to see steady growth with this company.
Let me put you on the spot a little bit.
Because
we love to be a little bit contentious with each other in our analysis. I know that you feel that Trevor's reign. Trevor is kind of the person who is the face that runs the place for CWF.
Yeah, absolutely. Said, he's
the guy who's drawn a lot of people in the last year and a half plus.
100%.
But you have started to feel, and if anything I'm wrong about, because you're obviously going to be able to go off on this, I get the sense that you feel that his reign has peaked, and you worry, how the heck are they going to credibly get the belt off of him? And then not only that, where are they going to go? What happens after that moment? Which is something I do, for the record, worry about too. And I have a million scenarios I don't say out loud because, I, God forbid, Stutzy hears it, he'll never use it.
Sure.
So I need to sneak things in.
I know the feeling.
Yeah. And at the same time,
believe me, I know.
And he does something that you thought of and dismissed, and does it even better than what you thought.
That's happened more than once. Yeah.
So that's why he's Stutzy. But okay, am I right about that theory? First of all, that you feel that it's peaked, and if so, what can they do? What are some
This is a delicate conversation for me because I still enjoy the matches. I think they're all very good, at minimum, really. And I think the story works. I think people love him in this building. Mm-hmm. I think he has an authentic connection with this crowd that very few wrestlers have with any crowd ever, honestly, to be candid. However, I do feel that we've reached a point with this reign, which is over 18 months now. I feel like we've reached a point with this reign where it's difficult for even a hardcore fan of the product like myself to envision how is this belt coming off of him. Now, some people might say, well, it shouldn't come off of him yet. Okay, the problem is, I don't even see anybody who I could credibly believe beating him. Like, and I think that's the challenge for Stutzy and the rest of the team here, is to create some narrative for somebody on this roster, which is extremely talented, where when that title changes hands, whether it be tomorrow night as we record this in the CWF Rumble, or whether that be a year from now, create some narrative for somebody where when it happens, I don't go, oh, that's charity, or I don't buy it. You know, and that is going to be a challenge because this is an epic title reign that's unlike anything we've seen. And really a decade or longer. And I think that's a big challenge. I will say this, I have more faith in this company to properly execute something that I can't personally envision right now than any company in the world. But it does scare me a little bit because I just don't know. And, my biggest worry as a fan is I don't want it to get to the point where Trevor winning feels like a foregone conclusion. Because that takes something away. I always want there to be that kernel of doubt, even if you know. I mean, one of the great things about that Chip Day match was we all knew Chip Day wasn't winning the title. Nobody thought that. Nobody in their right mind believes Chip's going to come in on a one-off. Granted, he's here from time to time.
But essentially a one-off.
And going to win the title on a show that's really about the tag team tournament. It's not even about the title match. But they made you believe for just a couple of minutes, just a window, that's all you need. And that window, being able to establish an opportunity where that window is in place for other guys going forward in this Trevor reign, again, assuming he wins tomorrow, because I don't know that he will that to me is going to be the critical challenge for CWF going forward, into 2018.
Who are some names, or a name or some names of guys that you think, well, maybe they're not the guy who's beating Trevor, but who are the guys to watch that are the young guys coming up in CWF that are either from their dojo or the people that they use that you could see hanging around that could be really main eventers, or they're solid people in a year?
The obvious answer is Kane, Justice. But I mean, that's such an obvious answer. It's like, I feel like for a lot of the internet audience, and to be fair, a lot of people in the building who don't care at all what the internet audience says, Kane is kind of, in some ways, he's the guy too. Like, he's not, I mean, he's not Trevor, but in a sense, he is a version of the guy, right? Like, he, you know...
He's trained by him.
And he's a prodigy. And, yes. You know, you and I had a private conversation earlier today where we were talking about other wrestling prodigies, people like Matt Riddle, Fred Yehi. There are wrestling prodigies out there, and Kane is one, and I have no problem saying
And haven't
that.
We gravitated? You just named Kane, Fred Yehi, and Matt Riddle. Haven't we gravitated to these
sure.
people?
Sure.
Look at these
sure.
sons of bitches trying to glom onto their...
Yeah, and I mean...
While they're still young and naive.
Yeah, those guys are all right. But I just feel like... you know, he's the obvious answer, right? But I do think, like, when I look at somebody like Dirty Daddy, who I think is, you know, I think he kind of has been obscured by Kane a little bit, but he has a likability factor that I don't think you can teach. I think you either have it or you don't. And I think he does. I also think he has some heel in him. And when he eventually becomes a bad guy, I think he's going to be very hateable. And I'm really interested to see where they go with his character going forward. I mean, those are the obvious answers in terms of guys here in this universe that you know, the big story for me, I think the biggest open-ended question mark within this company, you know, is what happens with Chet Sterling going forward. Like, I think that in a way is the biggest open-ended question, because he's got tons of talent. He's super believable as a babyface. The fans in this building love him. He's proven that he can carry a title. He carried the Ultra J title very effectively. If you follow Nova Pro as well, and if you don't, shame on you, you should. They use a lot of CWF talent. Chet showed that he could excel in a main event role there. So we know that he's capable of that. It's going to be interesting to see what goes forward with him. And actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I'll just throw this guy in there as kind of an outlier. If Logan Easton LaRoe keeps coming here, yeah, he is going to be a guy here. Because honestly... I mean, like, my personal fantasy booking that admittedly doesn't really fit what CWF does stuff and probably wouldn't make sense would be for him to beat Trevor for the belt.
I had the same idea. I had the same idea. Well, I thought that Chet should beat. Now we're just getting into nerdy. Here comes our worst list thoughts, but I thought that Chet should be the one, should beat Trevor, and then you immediately take it off him. Like, immediately. Maybe even the same night.
Sure.
And have him chase... Try to get some heat on him by chasing Logan.
I mean, who knows?
That's one of about 50 scenarios.
The funny thing is, tomorrow is such a huge show for this company. Yeah. We're taping this on the eve of the CWF Rumble, where all this stuff is probably going to be set up for Battlecade. Mm-hmm. We're going to see all these different directions going on, these major title matches underneath in what's going on in the Rumble, where Trevor's defending the title against basically the entire roster, plus whoever else comes in.
Yeah.
My guy Dr. Dan's coming in for a shot. Like, who knows how much of this will be obsolete by the time this comes out?
I know.
Because it's like, there's so much that can happen on this show tomorrow. I think it's a critical show for the company, and I don't mean that like in a negative way. I just mean this is a show where not only do we have so many fans come in from outside the area for this, and obviously it's one of their biggest events every year anyway, right there at Battlecade, basically maybe 1 and 1/8 depending on who you ask. And this had like there's so many things there where it feels like the table's being set for something bigger, or should be being set for something bigger, and I really feel like the clarity we're gonna have coming out of tomorrow night, we're gonna go, oh, this might be the path.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited for
that. And 99 out of 100 times with Stutzy, you go, oh, this might be the path. I hadn't quite thought of it at that angle.
Yes.
Maybe I had thought of something in that area, but not at that...
Not that way.
Yeah, not with that tilt, not with that focus, not with through that prism.
I agree.
Well, I can't wait for this entire podcast to be obsolete. Dylan Hales, my longtime close personal friend.
Dear close personal longtime friend, you got it.
Thank you for being Absolutely. On the CWF Road Diaries. And thus concludes my conversation with my pal, Dylan Hales. Thanks to Dylan. You can follow Dylan on Twitter @DylanWaco. That's DYLAN
And then WACO, like the town, the infamous town in Texas, which I'm sure they're still pleased as punch after 25 years to be infamous. According to me, follow Dylan at Dylan Waco. Theme by PoddingtonBear.com. CWF Mid-Atlantic on Twitter, at CWF Mid-Atlantic. Our two feeds, PlaceToBeNation.com and PWPonderings.com. CWF tickets and merch, CWFtickets.com. CWF Mid-Atlantic's YouTube show, weekly, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, or just watch it on demand, CWFWorldwide.com. Next week, we'll have the final part. It's going to be your after Christmas, pre-New Year's Eve delight, your dessert. The second part of my interview with Kamikaze Kid at Dark Kazi. I really love the first part. I'm excited about the second part. And then that'll take us into Battlecade and the new year of 2018, and we have some really cool things planned. So,
talk to you next week, everybody.